"How did you get here?" I asked Jen once I realised that Stornoway was on an island. "I flew over to Glasgow yesterday and stayed overnight with a cousin. Then I got a train to London, but I had 3 changes before arriving in London. I got a taxi from King's Cross to the nurse's home. Blimey," I thought, and there was I feeling hard done by. I related the story of my journey, but it didn't have quite the same impact after hearing about Jen's. May had been driven up by her father, and she was looking forward to life outside of a vicarage, she laughed. Blanche was the only one with a steady boyfriend who lived in Leicester, and she had every intention of moving back there as soon as she had finished the course, as she was already missing him. By the time we heard people coming off the wards following their shifts, we had already gelled into what would become a close group of girls. Fran was the oldest at 23, May was almost 23, Blanche was 22, and Jen and I were the babies at 21. At around 6 o'clock, we decided to unpack and agreed to meet up and go over to the hospital canteen and find some food. I unpacked my suitcase and was just about to close it when I noticed something in the bottom. It was a letter from my mum with 2 £10 notes inside. I was ecstatic. That was a lot of money for me, and maybe I wouldn't have to starve all month after all. We had found the canteen in the hospital basement and eaten well, as hospital food was relatively cheap, and I think we were all feeling much better as a result. Jen was looking like she might fall asleep at the dining room table. "Come on, girls, I think it's time to call it a night. We need to be in class at 9 o'clock in the morning." May put into words what we were all thinking, so we headed back to our rooms to get ready for the following day. Some of the girls still had to unpack. I sat down on the bed for a while. There was no chair to sit on, so it was the bed or the floor. I looked at my writing pad, thinking that I should write a letter home to my mum. She didn't have a telephone, so the only way to keep in touch was to write, and I also wanted to thank her for the £20 which had saved my life. I would miss out telling her the last bit, though, as I didn't want her to worry. I knew that she didn't have much money herself, so I was never going to cash from her. I had just picked up the writing pad when I heard screaming coming from down the corridor. I opened my door and saw a commotion up near the kitchen, so I went to see what was going on. There was a fair-haired girl standing there, screaming her head off, and a few people had gathered round. "What on earth's the matter?" I asked. She just stood there, trembling in the corridor. "In there!" She pointed towards the kitchen. Fran had come out of her room by now, as had May. We looked into the kitchen but couldn't see anything. "Turn the light off," the trembling girl said. Obediently, I did what she said and tried to calm her down. "There, it's off," I said, beginning to think I had moved into a psychiatric home. "Now turn it back on." I did so, and as I did, I saw about 10 enormous cockroaches crossing the floor before scuttling underneath the kitchen units. We all stepped back, startled, though none of us had quite as dramatic a reaction as the screaming girl. "That's all we need," said Fran, who shared that her nan had a farm in Wales and they were forever invading the kitchen there. At that moment, someone popped their head out from one of the rooms down the corridor. "Would you lot keep it down? I'm on an early in the morning," she said, and then closed the door. "Come on," said Fran. "You look like you need a nice cup of tea." She took the trembling girl by the arm and steered her towards her room. May and I followed. We discovered that trembling girl was called Flora and was also one of our set. I had mixed feelings about having a hysterical girl in the group. She had arrived later than the rest of us, as her train had been delayed. Flora was from Hull, and her journey had been rather eventful.